Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, Dodonov's been special. And I don't know if it was because he bit in Pete DeBoer's system prior, but... that line of Johnston, Ben, and Dodonov has been really, really good.
Well, don't underestimate how much Jamie Benn drives that line. And
yeah,
I know
true.
He's not the fastest guy on there. Dodonov is a, you know, again, Dodonov to me will be a guy. Let's see what he does in the playoffs. Because it's over the course of those 14 days I speak about, teams get dialed in on certain players. And they know how to... They'll be coaches, there'll be meetings, and they'll talk about key players from their opponent, and this is how we push them out of the fight. We're right. going to push them out of the game. We're going to make them non-existent, or it's going to be difficult for them to do what they want. The case in Dodonov may be, though, he may just want to prove that he is a lot better than the you know, I mean, he's been, man, that poor kid. I mean, well, he's not a kid. He's 30-some years old, but...
Yeah.
But, you know, he had the thing that happened in Vegas and, you know, all this other kind of stuff where he's getting shuffled off and shuffled off and shuffled off. And maybe that's just enough to for him to fight through a playoff atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, you know, Stars clearly in control against the Blackhawks the other night. Time winding down.
That was hard to watch.
The Ty Dellandrea fight?
No.
Oh,
no,
the game?
No.
Yeah. I thought.
I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you look at the score and you, I guess on the surface, you say Stars handled the business. I thought they did not play well in that first period.
But those are hard games to play in.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you. Tell me about why is it hard to play in those situations?
Well, because everybody knows the situation that Chicago's in. I mean, Chicago's in the race for Connor Bedard. That's the only trophy they're trying to win right now. And, you know, and Columbus and, you know, there's 3-4 teams that are in that race and they're trying to change their image in Chicago and they're trying to change a lot of things. And, you know, Jonathan Toews, I mean, now it's, you know, is he done there now too, which that's what it seems like, you know, their two pillars are out of the lineup in Kane, Toews, there's nothing left there. And, I mean, I look at that goal, I look at Stalock and, it was about 2 weeks ago. I'm sitting with our goalie coach, Billy Pye, for the Dallas Stars Elite Kid program and stuff like that. And I'm like, holy shit, Billy, look at who do they got in net? I mean, he's flopping around and all this other stuff. And Stalock to me was a good goalie. I'm like, okay, this is just a product of what's going on in front of him because he doesn't even look put together at times. So, but I think you come in, and those are some of the hardest games to play in. When you know what's going on, you're in a playoff push and you talk to yourselves, it doesn't matter what that jersey looks like. It doesn't matter what city we're in. We're going to play our game. We're 15 games, we're 10 games, we're 8 games from, you know, being playoff ready. We play our game. But trust me, there's something in your head. When every player goes in, they grab a stats pack. They go through all the stats. They read it. I mean, you got 2.5 hours for a game. You got to kill time somehow. I didn't go about it that way. I'd get more nervous and scared when I looked up lineups, the other teams that I'd have to be on the ice against some of these guys. But they all know, and they're going, who's this guy? Who's that guy? Who's this guy? And then they start reading. Okay, well, he just got called up a few days ago. You know what I mean? It's that kind of stuff. It's very different than going in and playing against Crosby and Malkin and you know, Tarasenko and all these kind of guys.
Yep.
So, but again, coaches will always tell you it's about our game. That's how they try to sell it. They got to find, and they coaches know it. Like, man, what are we going to get tonight? You know, they know that they can give a 75% effort and and win this hockey game. But then you got to say, listen, this is about where we're getting, trying to get to, and we're going to be playing our best hockey when game 83 comes around. So they're tough games to play in, but man, that's a hard game to watch.
Yeah.
For me. And I, as a matter of fact, I think I turned it off. Just, I turned the channel to a different game just into the third period.
And I don't blame Chicago. I mean, they got good draft assets. And at the same time, I mean, everything I've seen from Connor Bedard, I think that's definitely worth tanking for the best lottery chances. So, but I wanted to ask you about the Ty Dellandrea fight at the end. As a person who's dropped the mitts before, we don't know what happened on the ice, but clearly Dellandrea wanted that fight. And I wanted to ask you, because, you know, he left the ice with a bloody nose. Is that in the best interest of the Stars? How does that affect him in the room? Or is this simply, we don't know what happened, so we can't judge at this point? Because would a vet have taken that fight?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's Ty Dellandrea. That's part of what we call, you know, again, back to our players here, the younger kids for any group, we have things called calling cards. And we ask a player to put three things that you bring to the team. What do you bring to the game every single night? Who are you? And it doesn't mean they're always going to be right, and we may want to change one thing or not or add something to it. But, and then at the end of the game, we want them to pull that card out, look at it. Did you accomplish, did you do all those things? Did you do two of those things? Did you do one of them? Did you do all three? Because if you didn't all three, you didn't bring your best part to the game. That's Ty Dellandrea. Regardless of when, why, who you're playing against, that is part of who Ty Dellandrea is. He's not going to guy go out and fight. Again, I've used a comparison, and it's probably unfair to him this early in his career, to Brendan Morrow. And, you know, Brendan Morrow only knew one way to play. It didn't matter who you were playing. It didn't matter the score. It didn't matter the period. It was, you know, he's on go the whole game. And that's all you can ask from a player. So he's a tough kid. I think we've seen that. He brings the energy every night. He's not afraid to go to the front of the net. He digs in. When you play against a player like Dellandrea, you take note. You know, as an opponent, what you're going to get from that kind of a player every night. I mean, he's accountable, and he knows that is, you know, like I said, he may get in one fight every 10 games or 8 games, but you always know he's ready to go if he has to, and he'll stand up for a teammate, for himself. And, you know, and again, that sometimes in games, those things happen early when your team's not going. Sometimes in games it happens when you go, hey, we got another game coming up and we're not playing the right way. I'm not getting in his head. I don't know what he was, you know, what happened there, but I think you just appreciate it. All you can do is appreciate that kind of player.
Mm-hmm. Was there a player that was like a Dellandrea or like one of the Tkachuk sons that you were like, all right, this guy's going to be a pain in the neck on the ice tonight?
Well, you mean that I played with, yeah, or in general? I mean, you mentioned one earlier. I never played one, but Bill Guerin. That was Bill Guerin.
Yeah.
That's the way Billy Guerin played. And that, see, you know, a lot of GMs kind of, they build their teams and they take on their personality. And why not with what Guerin's doing? Because he's won Stanley Cups the way that he played. Teams went out and got him because of the way he played. But, you know, again, Brendan Morrow is the closest guy that I can come up with.
Okay.
You know, I mean, because I can name Shane Chirla, and I can name, right, Chris Nyland. I can name a bunch of those guys, but were they 20, 25 or potentially 20, 25 goal scorers?
Yeah.
No, but it was a different era and everybody kind of had a different kind of a role. You know, I mean,
well, I know he didn't have big energy, but what about Doug Weight?
Doug Weight as a fighter?
No. I'm just saying, like, as one of those guys. I mean, you talk about Bill Guerin, and you know, if we focus on net presence, I just always felt as though Doug Weight was like a immovable object in front of the net.
Who did you try to talk me? You met somebody up last week too that I thought you were.
I'm just bringing up names. Do you not want me to bring up names? I won't bring it. All right, back to Bill Guerin. Back to
Brendan Morrow.
I'm
not,
just saying.
Yeah, he wasn't. I was kind of looking at a. I thought you were going to come up with a Brendan Morrow type of player. A Dougie Waite.
Okay.
Probably. Waite was a very. He's a skilled. He loved to score goals.
Jordan Tutu. How about that?
Oh, for crying out loud!
What he was? Jordan, he was an energetic player that liked
to
muck it
up.
He wasn't
a 30 goal scorer. I'm just saying. I'm looking at players that pay the price in front of the net. They'll fight for their teammates. They'll fight for themselves. They understand that the game is going sideways and they'll go fight just to kind of, you know, change the momentum and the tone of your own team. That wasn't really Doug Waite. And Jordan Tutu, God bless that guy. I mean, he there was nobody he was afraid of, but I don't put him in the category of a 20 to 30 goal scorer, you know, at the time.
I will no longer bring up examples on this
maybe
podcast.
Maybe between now and next week, or God forbid I answer the phone next week and we have to do this again, you'll come up with a better example for whatever you're talking about.
Antoine Roussel.
Okay.
not a 20, 25 goal scorer, but did like to get.
But the problem that I have with Roos, and I've talked to him about this stuff, is it got a little out of control at times. There were times at the end of a game that, and this is speaking of if you were a teammate, like there were times at the end of games, and games are you're down by four goals, there's a minute to go in the game, and you want to take a 10-minute penalty. You know, just to have the stats on that side of things. So that's the only downside I've had of Roos. Cause I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to be a 15 to 20 goal scorer.
Right.
But it ends up being, you know, a gimmick. Well, who's the guy that we had here that was jumping around in front of Brodeur?
Sean Avery.
Oh, geez. I mean, that guy, I mean, That could have been – that was Hulley, I think, that wanted to bring him.
Yeah, because they lived together when Avery was a rookie in Detroit.
Yeah, he should have put him out in the cold and at about 3 o'clock in the morning when he was living in the show.
He was good for the LA Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wayne Simmons. That's a good one. Wayne Simmons.
Okay, there you go. That's a good one.
Thank Wayne you. Simmons. Took me 7 tries.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very good comparison.
Yes.
You know – And the thing is Wayne looks like a big guy. He is a big guy. He's a strong guy, but actually he's not that big of a guy. He's big and wiry, but he'll fight anybody. He'll change the tone of games. He understands, you know, that's a veteran kind of guy. So, you know, and again, I know that the similarities in size and the weight and all that kind of stuff isn't there with Delandria, but that's why for some reason I always gravitate to Brendan Morrow. And man, if he could turn into a Brendan Morrow, which I think everybody would hope so, he's going to have a hell of a career. But Wayne Simmons is a better guy. You know, he's a 20 to 25 goal scorer. And the way that he scored a lot of his goals is nobody wanted to confront him when he was in front of the net. I mean, he went there to fight for space, literally and figuratively, at times, and you knew what was going to happen when you played against that kind of guy. So he created his own kind of space. And then on top of it, he had a pretty good set of hands as far as finishing the goals.